markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and stocks are headed for a monthly drop and concerns that restrictive monetary policy to tackle inflation will harm the global economy. U.S. stock index futures, they've been fluctuating this morning. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And right now, S&P futures, they're up about 4 points. Dow futures are little changed. NASDAQ futures are higher by 57. The DAX in Germany is down 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 12/32, yield 3.14%. Yield on the 2-year, 3.48%. NYMEX crude oil is down 3.4% on $3.13 at $88.51 a barrel. COMEX gold is down about 0.8% or $13.30 at $17.23 an ounce. The euro is at 0.9985 against the dollar. British pound 1.1625 and the yen 138.83. Bitcoin this morning up 1.5% at $20,280. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. The Department of Justice says White House records held in a storage room at Donald Trump's Florida home may have been concealed or removed before an FBI June search for classified documents. The DOJ suggests possible attempts to obstruct the investigation. Former Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev died at a Moscow hospital. Under Gorbachev, the Berlin Wall crumbled. Mikhail Gorbachev was 91. In tennis, Serena Williams hits the court tonight for her second round in the U.S. Open. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Angels 7-4. Aaron Judge hit his 51st homer. The Mets lost to the Dodgers 4-3. The A's beat the Nationals 10-6. The Red Sox, Orioles, and Giants lost. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and Tom Porcelli joins us now, Chief U.S. Economist at RBC Capital Markets, as we march closer to an August payrolls report and a December or the September decision from the Federal Open Market Committee. Tom, good morning. We have all these signs, some signs at least, that inflation is easing a bit. At the same time, we have further signs of a continued tight labor market. What's the challenge for the Fed?
Well, good morning. Good to be with you as always. Look, I think that for the Fed, I think it's not having the blinders on, right? I mean, you know, let's be honest. They had them on last year. They really only focused on labor at the expense of inflation. I hope that, you know, it's not this is not a replay of last year, where this year they would be more focused on inflation at the expense of labor. I mean, one of the great things about the Fed is that they actually do have a dual mandate, right? I mean, it's sort of a unique thing in among central banks, and I think that really gives them so much latitude. And make no mistake, I mean, right now it is supposed to be about inflation. I think Powell actually did a great job during his Jackson Hole speech, where, you know, he said all the right things, right? He's supposed to say it's all about inflation right now, that, it, you know, we're going to keep at it until inflation starts to improve, and et cetera, et cetera. He was supposed to say all those things. In fact, I think for people waiting for him to say something different than that, you know, he's going to be the last one to say it, right? He's going to say it when it's obvious to everyone. And I'm sympathetic to that. But having said all of that, you know, we have the luxury, right, as economists and analysts and strategists, of being able to sort of look a little further out and say, hey, look, we think that inflation is probably going to slow down. We think labor backdrop is going to slow down. And as a result, you know, we don't see this hiking cycle going on for meaningfully longer. He can't say that. So I think everyone should just sort of set up their expectations correctly around what he, you know, sort of will and will not say. And what he will continue to say is that there's a lot of work to do.
And given what he has said, what does that mean that the Fed's going to do when they come down to that decision in September? Or is it too soon to call it, given all the rest of the data that needs to come down between then and now?
Nothing's ever too soon to call. So what I would say is, look, what I would say is right now our expectation is that they're going to do 50. If you get a blowout payroll report, if you get a blowout CPI, then yes, I think that, you know, the odds or the risk that they do 75 will certainly grow. But it's funny, you know, the Fed is fond of saying that they're data dependent. I think that, you know, this might be a very hyper attentive data dependency period right here, right now. I think two reports are really going to dictate.
Do you think we're going to get a blowout payrolls on Friday?
You know, I do. I do think it could be a pretty decent one, actually. I think consensus is 300 on last I looked at my Bloomberg screen. You know, we think you could easily have a four handle on payroll. So, you know, all things are relative to expectations. It would obviously be quite a bit slower versus the, you know, 400 and near 30,000 jobs that we printed last month. But, you know, all things are almost always relative to expectations. So I think the consensus is a little light right here.
And what about wages? I mean, that's a big concern for the Fed as well, whether we could be heading into a wage price spiral that feeds into inflation expectations.
Yeah, it's a totally great question and a fair one. And so what I would say is, look, I think that there's countless ways of looking at inflation. There's countless ways of calculating it. And there's countless, literally, measures of inflation. I think the best measure of inflation right now is average weekly earnings. It's better than average hourly earnings, right? Average hourly earnings are an incomplete measure. Average weekly earnings include hours. And the thing that I think some people are missing is that hours are actually slowing. And so average weekly earnings as a result have also slowed. And if you look at it on a 6-month annualized basis, which you know, we think is probably the fairest way of looking at it, it's slowed down. So it is slowing. It's moving in the right direction. You know, has it slowed enough? That's for the Fed to, debate thoroughly. But there's no question that wage pressures are slowing.
Yeah, going to be a really interesting look at where the labor market stands now when we get those August numbers this Friday. Tom Porcelli, as always, great to speak with you. Tom Porcelli is Chief U.S. Economist at RBC Capital Markets. Looking ahead to the final market open of August, futures are fluctuating still. S&P futures back up a bit now, up 5 points. Dow futures are lower, down 9. That's a little changed, actually. NASDAQ futures adding on to some of their gains now. They're up 69 points. That's a gain of more than 0.5% for the tech-heavy NASDAQ futures. The 10-year Treasury right now is down 11 32nds. The yield 3.14%. NYMEX crude continues to slump, down 3.4% at $88.48 for a barrel of West Texas Intermediate crude. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, sunshine, less humid, mid-80s today, low 80s to start off September. Friday's high near 80 degrees with lots of sunshine. Right now, 70 degrees and clear in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 11:30. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 106.1. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
On Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. It's time for the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Interactive Brokers charges margin loan rates from 2.83% to 3.83%. Their clients can also earn extra income by lending their fully paid shares of stock. Rates subject to change. Learn more at ibkr.com/compare. Up first, U.S. stocks begin the session trading at a one-month low as Fed fears persist. Amanda Agati is Chief Investment Officer at PNC Asset Management Group.
To the extent that the Fed stays the course here, I think that the market can live with it, in air quotes, relative to some of the fears that are looming larger out there. I think the market's already priced for the path that's ahead. To the extent that the dot plot changes meaningfully and the terminal rate moves higher from where we are, that's going to be a challenge for markets.
PNC Asset Management Chief Investment Officer Amanda Agati says she's not making any meaningful changes to her portfolio yet.
Well, yesterday, Karen, three regional Fed chiefs reiterated Chair Jay Powell's intention to bring down inflation, including Richmond Fed President Thomas Barkin. He cautioned that the path to cool prices may get bumpy.
The pace of when we get back to our target, which is 2%, is uncertain. But as a result, our commitment to bring inflation down, which hopefully you welcome, leads to worries about a recession.
Richmond Fed President Thomas Barkin spoke yesterday in West Virginia.
Well, overseas, Nathan, euro area inflation accelerated to another all-time high, 9.1% from a year ago, as the European Central Bank considers a jumbo interest rate hike when it meets next week. And in the UK, shop price inflation increased to 5.1% in August.
On Wall Street, Karen, Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley are removing pandemic hurdles to fully return staff to offices. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has more on Goldman's aggressive push.
Beginning next week, employees outside of New York can be back in the office regardless of vaccination status, with no requirement to participate in regular testing or wear face coverings. According to a memo sent to staff, the bank has eased COVID-era measures, citing new U.S. Centers for Disease Control guidelines, as well as improved treatments and wide availability of testing. Goldman says that in New York City, employees with an approved medical or religious exemption to the city's vaccine mandate can enter offices with no testing or face coverings. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thanks. And on a political note, the Justice Department said the records held at former President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago home appear to have been moved before the FBI tried to get them in June, raising allegations of obstruction of justice. That's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers.
Thank you, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street, 70 degrees in Central Park. Now seeing 45-minute delays getting through the Lincoln Tunnel because a car's broken down inside. More coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr's here. Did you feel it, Michael?
Oh, yes, I felt it. I felt that traffic jam, and I felt the two earthquakes as well. According to the U.S. Geological Survey, two hit northern New Jersey yesterday. The first, a 2.3 magnitude earthquake, was just about 5:15 p.m., 6 miles northwest of Moores Plains. A 1.7 magnitude aftershock was then reported shortly after 6:30 p.m., also in Morris County. Migrants crossing into El Paso have been arriving at welcome centers set up by outreach organizations looking to assist the homeless population there. Recently, the state of Texas started busing migrants to places like Chicago and New York City. The buses provided an opportunity for the migrants to get to where they wanted to go. Now it appears they have stopped. John Martin, the deputy director of the Opportunity Center, said until now it had been working out well.
So with 100% confidence, I can tell you this is their choice, this is their desire, and this is the direction they want to go.
Senate Director John Martin spoke to ABC affiliate KVIA. Mikhail Gorbachev, the leader of the Soviet Union, whose attempts to shake up his country's political and economic system led to the collapse of the communist superpower and the end of the Cold War, has died. Fordham journalism professor Beth Noble.
I think he'll be looked back upon as someone who ended up doing great things for the world by bringing down the USSR, by ending the Cold War, and by bringing democracy to millions of people in the former Soviet bloc.
Professor Beth Noble was also the CBS News Moscow bureau chief. Gorbachev's death followed a severe and prolonged illness. Mikhail Gorbachev was 91. A team of international nuclear inspectors is heading to the nuclear power plant amid fighting in southern Ukraine and international concern of a potential accident or radiation leak. President Biden outlined his new Safer America program at Wilkes University in Pennsylvania. With gun violence on the rise in the U.S., President Biden said this is the time to spend money on local law enforcement.
It's based on a simple notion. When it comes to public safety in this nation, the answer is not defund the police. It's fund the police. Fund the police.
Among the people in attendance for Biden's speech were gun safety advocates. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Almost 6:36 on Wall Street. John Stashower's got the Bloomberg Sports Update.
All right, Nathan, it was 61 years ago that Roger Maris hit 61 home runs. 130 games into that season, Maris was at 51. 130 games into this season, Aaron Judge has hit 51. Another one in Anaheim. Three-run shot to right field, fourth inning. Judge has come off his longest home run drought of the season to hit five in the last eight games. Yankees beat the Angels 7-4 as Andrew Benintendi and Anthony Rizzo also homered over the first two innings. Jameson Taillon took a line drive off his arm, had to leave in the third inning. X-rays were negative. The bullpen went the rest of the way. Gerrit Cole starts tonight at Citi Field. Dodgers scored seventh inning to win 4-3. That's their 90th win of the season. So you'll have Jacob deGrom at Citi Field tonight. And then across the boardwalk will be Serena Williams. U.S. Open record crowd of 29,000 on hand Monday to see Serena. And they may top it tonight. It's her second round match. She'll try to upset the second seed, Annette Kontaveit. Retirement is coming either tonight or later in the tournament. So Serena was asked about future plans.
I don't see myself not a part of tennis. I don't know how I'm going to be a part of tennis as of right now. I just don't know how, but I just feel like we've come too far together to just not have anything to do with it.
Well, Venus Williams hardly plays anymore. She did play yesterday, lost. The sisters are playing doubles together. They'll play a first-round match tomorrow. Also losing in the singles, women's defending champ Emma Raducanu and two-time Open champ Naomi Osaka was beaten by Danielle Collins. Men's winners included the Spaniard, seeded second and third, Rafael Nadal, and the 19-year-old Carlos Alcaraz. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thank you. It is 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market as we get ready for the final day of trading in this down month of August. We check in live with Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta. Kriti, we've been watching the futures kind of waver all morning long, but underneath some big individual movers this morning.
Absolutely. Let's start off with, I think, the major story that we are going to this week, which is the job story. Payrolls, of course, coming on Friday. The ADP number with a new methodology change, talking about jobs and pay, coming out today. And in that, you're seeing it on the corporate level as well. Snapchat is where I'm going with this. SNAP is your ticker. They're cutting their workforce by 20% starting today. This is significant. It comes after they have about 6,500 employees, excuse me. So that 20% makes it about 1,300 people. SNAP shares down about 6% on that news. The idea here being that if big tech companies and social media companies like Snap that are extremely exposed to the business cycle and the economic cycle, if they are bracing for a pretty deep downturn to the point that they do have to cut their workforce by 20%, then what does that say about the rest of the economy and that company specifically? Remember, a lot of these social media companies are very reliant on business investment, and a lot of these job losses or job cuts are actually happening in the part of the business that works on kind of the small niche application software of their company. So that's something you really want to keep an eye on, Nathan. And in line with that same thinking process is HP as well. We like to talk a lot about recession stories and talk about consumer spending there. I like to look at it from a business investment point of view. Once again, when the big corporate players start to cut back, that's when you should be concerned. HP, for example, really falls under that category, and I should say HPE as well is a better way to look at that. HP Enterprises is kind of the two tickers are listed separately, but HPE is the ticker you want to look at this morning because those shares are down 1.1%. This comes after they're cutting their sales forecast, citing lower PC demand. Think about it. If you are a major business and you are concerned about a recession or concern about hiring, do you really need to start buying more and more PCs, buying more and more equipment? And right now, the answer is not as much as before. And that, of course, is weighing on the shares, Nathan.
And finally, Kriti, we've been waiting for this regulatory filing from Bed Bath & Beyond. And it looks like the stock is plummeting now on the back of that.
It really is. We are, of course, waiting still on the details of that strategic update. Remember, liquidity is a major story when it comes to Bed Bath & Beyond. They did file filing as well, but once again, it doesn't look like there isn't much changes to that story. We're going to keep you apprised of all those developments throughout the day, Nathan.
All right, Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta will be checking back with her, throughout the day as we do get set for the final trading day of this month. Looking ahead to the market open, right now, futures are in the green. S&P futures up 9 points, so are Dow futures. NASDAQ futures leading the gains right now, up 87 points. That's a gain of 0.7%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Finally, we're not going to see many gains as far as the temperatures go. Get ready for very pleasant highs in the low to mid 80s as we round out the rest of this week. Right now, 70 in Central Park.
Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, August 31st, 2022. Coming up this hour,
stocks enter the day trading at a one-month low.
More Fed officials hammer home the message of bringing down inflation.
Goldman and Morgan Stanley ease COVID rules so workers can return to the office.
And new developments involving the search of Donald Trump's Florida home.
Former Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev has died, plus the ground moved in New Jersey. I'm Michael Barr. More on the earthquake ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Another Aaron Judge home run. The Yankees won. The Mets lost. Serena Williams plays tonight at the U.S. Open.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are lower this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 4 points, Dow futures down 62. NASDAQ futures are higher. They're up about 24, and the 10-year Treasury down 14 30 seconds, yield 3.15%. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. But the market is beginning this session trading at a one-month low as Fed fears continue to persist. Three regional Fed presidents yesterday reiterated Chair Jay Powell's intention to bring down inflation. Amanda Agati is Chief Investment Officer at PNC Asset Management Group.
I actually think that we're going to start to see more confirmation and evidence of inflation rolling over. And while the Fed, you know, only has a few data points to go on here so far, I think the market has already adjusted on the equity side in terms of valuations, but also on the bond market side in terms of, you know, futures probability of rate hikes and where interest rates have moved to.
PNC Asset Management's Amanda Agati says she is not making any meaningful changes right now to her portfolio.
Well, Nathan, Richmond Fed President Thomas Barkin is one of the central bank officials beating the drum to stop inflation. He vowed the Fed would not flinch in its efforts to cool prices, but cautioned it might not be a smooth process.
We're committed to getting inflation under control, and there's a path to get there. A recession is obviously a risk in the process. I'll just say for context, nobody ever canceled the business cycle. So when you say there's a risk of recession, it doesn't have to be like a 2008 recession.
Richmond Fed President Thomas Barkin made the comments in West Virginia yesterday.
Well, Wall Street is worried that the Fed's aggressive battle against inflation will lead to higher unemployment and recession. Karen, this morning we get the first read on August jobs with the ADP report. Let's get a preview from Bloomberg's Michael McKee.
ADP returns from its months-long hiatus with updated methodology and a range of wage data, and a vow it's not supposed to be a forecast of the government's monthly payroll report. The revamped report, developed with the Stanford Digital Economy Lab, will feature the monthly change in private employment as well as weekly payrolls data for the preceding month. Median annual growth by industry, company size, region, gender, and age will also now be available. While there is a median projection for this month's report, given the changes, several Wall Street economists haven't submitted estimates for this month. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Mike, thank you. Well, overseas, euro area inflation accelerated to another all-time high as the European Central Bank considers a jumbo interest rate hike when it meets next week. Consumer prices jumped 9.1% from a year ago. And in the UK, shop price inflation increased to 5.1% in August. The price of food rose even more, 9.3%.
In Asia, Karen, China's factory activity contracted in August for a second straight month. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has more from Hong Kong.
The official PMI rose to 49.4 from 49 in July. The economy has been hit by power outages, the crisis in the property market, and multiple COVID outbreaks. The reading was slightly higher than the estimate of 49.2, but still in contraction mode. Meantime, the non-manufacturing gauge fell to 52.6 from 53.8. The main takeaway, this economy is still losing speed. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thank you. Back here at home, new allegations of obstruction of justice may be added to former President Trump's legal woes. Details from Bloomberg's Amy Morris in our 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The Justice Department has responded to former President Trump's request for a special master review of documents he kept at his home in Florida. Investigators suggest Trump may have tried to obstruct the investigation. The DOJ says the records that were held in a storage room at Mar-a-Lago appear to have been moved before the FBI search in June. As far as appointing a third party to review those documents, the government said that was not only unnecessary, it would only serve to delay the ongoing investigation. The judge has directed Trump to respond to the DOJ filing by tonight. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Amy. On Wall Street, two of the most prominent investment banks are removing some of the final hurdles to a full return to office following the pandemic. More from Bloomberg's Doug Krisner.
Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley will ease some of their remaining COVID-19 protocols after the Labor Day weekend. Goldman will allow employees outside New York to enter offices regardless of vaccination status, with no mandate to participate in regular testing or to wear face coverings. Last week, Morgan Stanley told its New York staff, as of September 5th, it's ending test and control measures. Anyone who tests positive should still isolate for at least 5 days, then wear a mask for five more. In New York, I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Doug, thank you. Let's take a look now at some stocks moving in early trading. Shares of Chewy are down 11.5%. The online pet supply retailer has cut its revenue outlook and says customer growth has slowed. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has more.
In a letter to shareholders, Chewy said sales in the current fiscal year will total no more than $10 billion as customers pull back on discretionary goods such as toys and treats. That is down from a previous forecast of as much as $10.4 billion. Chewy is contending with a broad-based fall in demand for discretionary items as American consumers shift spending to food and other essentials amid soaring inflation. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. Shares of HP are down 6.75%. The company reported quarterly sales that missed estimates and reduced its annual profit forecast on falling demand for personal computers and printers.
And shares of Snap down 7.5%. Verge is reporting the social media company is planning to lay off around 20% of its nearly 6,500 employees. The stock is down about 80% so far this year as the company has faced a slowdown in advertiser spending. Again, S&P futures are lower to little change this morning. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 607 on Wall Street, 70 degrees in Central Park. Got a car fire eastbound LIE at exit 43. We'll get the update in traffic shortly. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The earth moved in New Jersey last evening. According to the U.S. Geological Survey, two earthquakes hit northern New Jersey. The first, a 2.3 magnitude earthquake, was just before 5:15 p.m., about 6 miles northwest of Morris Plains. A 1.7 magnitude aftershock was then reported shortly after 6:30 p.m., also in Morris County. The last earthquake in New Jersey was in Freehold in 2020, recorded at a 3.1 magnitude. One Texas official says migrants crossing into El Paso want to come to New York City. El Paso has been housing asylum seekers at welcome centers there to assist the homeless population. Texas has been busing migrants from the Opportunity Center to where they want to go. Speaking at ABC's KVIA in El Paso, John Martin, the deputy director of the center, says up until now, it has been working out well.
I've never seen individuals run so quickly to take a shower so that they could get on a bus and be able to go to where they wanted to go.
Martin says, though, it appears to have stopped. A bus scheduled to leave Monday from the center was postponed. Former Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev has died. Russian news reports say it happened at the Central Clinical Hospital, where he was undergoing unspecified treatments after a long illness. Mikhail Gorbachev was 91. Texas is announcing the first confirmed fatality from monkeypox in the U.S. Dr. Jennifer McQuiston says the patient had other underlying health conditions.
It's important to focus that we have mitigation measures in place to prevent monkeypox. Get vaccinated. If you're sick, go to a doctor, get tested. And if you have severe illness, there are treatments that are available.
Dr. McQuiston says, though, only a handful of monkeypox fatalities have been reported globally. President Biden announced his Safer America program. He proclaimed in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, the nation had to fund the police, then criticized GOP members of Congress for not supporting his plan.
Guess what? Every single
Republican member of Congress, every single one in this state, every single one voted against the support for law enforcement. They talk about how much they love it. They voted against the funding.
President Biden. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Almost 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stanshaw.
All right, Nathan, as we get ready to flip the calendar to September, Yankee fans would like to see their team play well as they get ready for October. But perhaps the bigger story will be a daily watch to see how many home runs their star player ends up with. He came up in Anaheim, fourth inning, two men on.
1-2. Hit well to right. Aaron Judge has done it again. Number 51 for Judge. He's 10 away from Roger Maris. It's a three-run shot. And the Yankees have opened it up. It's 7-2.
On WFAN earlier, Yankee home runs from Anthony Rizzo, his 30th. Andrew Benintendi. Yanks ended a three-game slide. They beat the Angels 7-4 with six Yankee relievers combining to pitch the last seven innings. The Mets schedule is going to get a lot easier, but there's nothing easy right now about playing the Dodgers, who won 4-3 at Citi Field. The Dodgers have won 26 of their last 32 games. They are 52 games over 500. Starling Marte and Mark Canna homered in the loss for the Mets. 2 days after he went 30-for-38 against the Jets, the Giants cut third-string quarterback Davis Webb, electing to go with only two QBs. The Jets kept wideout Denzel Mims on the roster. He had recently asked for a trade. Rafael Nadal's first U.S. Open match since 2019. He won to improve to 16-0 lifetime in the opening round. 42-year-old Venus Williams, her first Open was in 1997. She played and lost. Unlike Serena, Venus is not saying anything about retirement. She hardly plays these days. Her ranking is over 1,500. Serena is retiring, so tonight could be her swan song. She takes on the second seed, Annette Contavite. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thank you, John. S&P futures right now little changed. Dow futures down 41 points. NASDAQ futures, adding to some of their gains now, 43 points higher. The 10-year Treasury is down 14 30 seconds. Yield 3.15%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, sunny, less humid, mid-80s today. We'll get up to the low 80s as we start off September tomorrow. Sunshine, high near 80 on Friday. Right now, 70 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and S&P futures showing a little more strength now. We go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call, and here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. Modest gains in the U.S. futures right now, with Dow futures higher by a point. S&P's gained 7, while NASDAQ futures are up by 75. The U.S. 10-year yield at 3.14%. Gold is down 12. Oil is sinking, and Bitcoin is trading higher by 1.5%. Japan rose 1.1% overnight, while European markets are in the red this morning. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:15 ADP employment change, and at 9:45 Chicago PMI. After the bell last night, HP cut its profit forecast on falling PC and printer demand. And in other news, Bed Bath & Beyond is plunging 20% pre-market after a shelf filing. Wrapping things up, Robinhood was downgraded to underweight over at Barclays. Live from the First Republic News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. The Justice Department says classified documents were likely concealed and removed from former President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate as part of an effort to obstruct the federal investigation into the discovery of the government records. A court filing last night shows the FBI also seized more than 100 classified records during its August 8th search. 25 years ago today, Princess Diana died. She was killed in a car crash in Paris. In tennis, Serena Williams hits the court tonight for her second round in the U.S. Open. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Angels 7-4. Aaron Judge hit his 51st homer. The Mets lost to the Dodgers 4-3. The A's beat the Nationals 10-6. The Red Sox, Orioles, and Giants lost. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Karen.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 6:49 on Wall Street, and we turn to news and science and technology now with the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT is dedicated to bolstering support for female and minority students pursuing careers in high-paying STEM industries. Learn more at njit.edu. And here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. It's the biggest two-year decline in U.S. life expectancy in almost a century, and it's being blamed on the COVID pandemic. Life expectancy fell by almost a year in 2021 after a decline of 1.8 years in 2020. The pandemic has been directly responsible for more than 1 million American deaths. Meanwhile, the U.S. government anticipates that it'll stop purchasing and providing COVID-19 shots as soon as January due to a lack of funds. That will leave Americans to obtain vaccines through insurers or pay for them out of pocket. And two of Wall Street's most prominent investment banks are removing some of the final hurdles to fully returning to offices following the pandemic. Goldman Sachs, which led Wall Street's return to Manhattan Towers by pushing employees to resume regular commutes last year, and Morgan Stanley both told staff that they will ease some of their remaining COVID-19 mitigation efforts after the Labor Day weekend. That's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include the Justice Department accusing former President Donald Trump of potentially attempting obstruction of justice at Mar-a-Lago. President Biden blasting Republican attacks on the FBI in a speech on safety and policing. And Washington reacts to the death of former Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev. Bloomberg government congressional reporter Jack Fitzpatrick is back with us now. So give us the latest, Jack, on this late night filing from the Justice Department, apparently in response to former President Trump's request for an independent review of all those classified documents taken from his home.
Yes, the news here is that DOJ said there's some indication that the former president and the people around him may have tried to hide some of the documents they found. There's a little bit of an extensive timeline here. There's a back and forth with the National Archives, and the FBI actually visited Mar-a-Lago in June ahead of that August 8th search warrant, and they were told by Trump's lawyers after that June meeting that they had handed over all the relevant documents. That clearly was not true. The overarching issue beyond that also is that the Trump lawyers have called for a special master to review the information around this. The FBI, DOJ has said that could interfere with their investigation. So there's a debate over the amount of transparency and whether to bring in an outside person to have a role in reviewing all of this. But the assertion here from DOJ is that the former president had effectively told them he handed everything over, and they ultimately found about twice as much as had been indicated by the former president's lawyers when they actually got that search warrant, and there was some evidence that there was dishonesty in an attempt to cover things up.
Is there a possibility then that we could see from the Justice Department more than just talk of obstruction of justice, but an actual indictment?
Well, we don't have anything official now, but that is sort of the implication of all of this. They're raising a serious legal allegation that they were investigating this, and the people around former President Trump, potentially all the way to former President Trump, were dishonest with the FBI about the amount of information they gave over. And that raises the possibility of obstruction of justice. We don't know how the DOJ is going to go forward with this. In Washington, this really raises the specter of a bit of a constitutional crisis, and they are trying to be careful about how they go forward with this. But yes, the things they're describing here, if the allegations are true, that would be illegal to withhold that information in the midst of an FBI investigation.
What does this mean for Republican support for the former president, which they've shown a lot of up to now?
Yeah, it has not gone away. Republicans have essentially played a game of wait and see. There is absolutely a sense that there's another shoe to drop. There's more information that could come out. And the initial pushback and insistence that this must have been declassified, it must be really nothing, that has waned. And there's, I think, Republican lawmakers have been pretty quiet on this lately as every development seems to indicate that there will be another development. So it's not that they have turned against former President Trump, but it's pretty quiet here in Washington with regard to Republicans standing firmly behind him.
But it sounds a little bit like President Biden is getting a little bit louder on this issue, particularly in some of his comments about support for the FBI and, you know, the attacks that many Republicans have leveled against the FBI in the wake of the Mar-a-Lago search.
Yes, that was a major focus of his speech yesterday in Pennsylvania, playing up the candidacies, key candidacies for the gubernatorial race, the Senate race, a swing district race there in Pennsylvania, talking about how you cannot support law enforcement or claim to support law enforcement and want to defund the FBI. He kind of tied this issue in with January 6th. This was a significant focus on the campaign trail in a high-stakes area, a high-stakes series of races where Biden really went out of his way to focus on the Mar-a-Lago search on January 6th and really, I think, broadly on Trump's role in the Republican Party.
And in our last minute or so here, Jack, I'm sure there's going to be an outpouring of reaction in Washington following the passing of Mikhail Gorbachev, the last leader of the former Soviet Union.
Yes, and there have been a number of statements that have come out in the West, quite positive. President Biden put out a statement describing Gorbachev as a rare leader with the imagination to see a different future. Really overwhelmingly complimentary from Western leaders, including President Biden. Obviously, his legacy is very different in Russia. He attempted to continue to have a political career and had a very unsuccessful presidential campaign after the fall of the Soviet Union. So, you know, the response from Russian officials, including potentially Putin, would be very interesting to see. But people like President Biden and others in the West have put out an outpouring of complimentary reminiscences of Gorbachev's career.
Thanks for this, Jack. Great having you on with us, as always. Bloomberg government congressional reporter Jack Fitzpatrick joining us from our Bloomberg 99.1 studios in Washington, D.C. Read more about all these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg terminal. Listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington. You can do that by tuning in to Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM. HD2. Looking ahead to the market open, we're starting to see some traction in the futures contracts. The S&P futures right now up 11 points. Dow futures have turned just a touch higher. We'll call it little change to higher with a gain of 24 points. NASDAQ futures adding to their gains right now up 90 points for a gain of 0.7%. The 10-year Treasury is down 10/32, the yield 3.14%, yield on the 2-year 3.48%. NYMEX crude still moving lower, but off its session lows, down 2.8% at $89.09 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.8%, $17.2280 an ounce. The euro 0.9979 against the dollar. The yen is at 138.76. Bitcoin back above 20,000, trading at $20,300. Bloomberg Surveillance is next with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.